Gospel of John, chapter 18. Looking at the subject title, Peter's Denial. It gave me great sadness just to look at that. Let's read verses 12 through 18. Band of captain, officers of man and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first. He was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was a high priest that same year. Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now, that disciple was known under the high priest, went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without, and then went out that other disciple which was known under the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. The servants and officers stood there, that made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Something written in God's Word one time demands our absolute attention and take heed. Four times, it's very serious. Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial four times. As I said, Judas' name is 22 times in the Gospel. His betrayal, it was horrible, shocking, unbelievable. I'd like to forget about it. I'd like to go on. I hate to deal with it. I hate to think about it. But the Scriptures won't let us with it. It's everywhere. So, because our Lord says, our Scripture says, there must be heresies among you. Judas was always with the disciples. He was always there. Our Lord chose him. And it will be with all professing believers, with the church, there will always be a Judas. Shockingly, sadly, Paul had his Demas. Remember, Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's always the reason. And now we have Simon Peter. Simon Peter, whom we love so dearly, whom the Lord loved, shockingly, unbelievably, horribly, shamefully denying that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Not once, not twice, three times. Act like he never heard a thing he said, and like he didn't care for him at all. That's sad. That just saddens him. These two men had a lot in common, didn't they? The Lord called them. They both heard Christ's voice. They both heard every sermon Christ preached. They both seemed to follow him. They both came to him. They both sat. They both heard. They both walked with him. They both preached. And yet both acted like they had never heard of Jesus Christ. They didn't care. That's sad. And here's the number one reason why they both acted that way. Look at verse 5, chapter 18, verse 5. The last line says, Judas, which betrayed him, stood with them. That is, those who hated the Lord. And verse 18, the last line, Peter stood with them. They both had that in common, so they both, one betrayed him, one denied him. God forbid that we should deny our Lord And God help us if we betray him. But Judas was an apostle. Simon Peter was an apostle. What does this say? Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every man. What does this tell us? Scripture tells us. 1 Corinthians 10 is a summary of all the children of Israel going through the wilderness. And with many of them, God was not pleased. They were overthrown. They were overcome. They denied that they knew the Lord. They fell in the wilderness. What did they fall to? The world. And it says, let him that thinketh he standeth, whoever it is, the preacher, from the preacher on down, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Take heed to what? The story of Judas. The story of Simon Peter. Lest he fall. It says, brethren, take heed. Hebrews. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, from the preacher on down. I've known preachers for a long time that left. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I don't want to do that, and I don't want to see you do that. Well, here's the first step toward falling away, is to fall in with the world. Why do we keep dealing with it? Because the scripture does. It keeps coming up now. Look at verse 15. Let's go verse by verse here. Verse 15 of John 18. It says, Simon Peter followed Jesus. He followed him. And so did another disciple. And that disciple was known as the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. And he came back out, knowing the high priest, and had free access to the palace there and all. He came out and had them let Simon Peter in. This is not John the apostle. Do you hear me? John always referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Over in the last chapter, it says that. He said, Peter turned and looked at that disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, this was not John. John was too loyal. John was too zealous. John loved the Lord too much. John was always leaning on the Christ bosom. He's not close buddies with the high priests. No. What if I spent all my time with the Catholic priest now over here? What if he and I were buddies? That can't possibly be again. No, this is not John. The Lord had many disciples. There were many disciples. Herod's court. There were some from Herod's court. Herod's family. Herod's foster son was a disciple of Christ. Herod's servant's wife was a disciple of Christ. It says the chief ruler of the synagogue was a disciple of Christ. There were many everywhere. Called the disciples of Christ. This was not John. Do you hear me? He was not buddies with the high priest. John believed and knew that Jesus Christ is the high priest. And that man's an antichrist. So do all of God's people. We're not going to consort with and spend our time with people like that. I won't do it. Some believe this was Nicodemus. Some believe it was Joseph of Arimathea. That would fit because Nicodemus was a secret disciple. That's how you can fit in with other people like that. Be a secret disciple. Right? That's right. That's how you can be in favor with the world. All right, look at verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. And then went out that other disciple, which was known of the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And as he's coming in, as a damsel that kept the door, just a young maid, just a young girl, She said, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? You're one of his disciples. He said, I am not. I am not. Now, over in Matthew 26, turn there, Matthew 26 with me. Matthew 26. Thank God this young maid recognized Simon Peter as being one of the Lord's disciples. You know that? She recognized. You're one of his disciples. I've seen you with him. And here we're going to see something that marks God's people out as God's people. Thank God she recognized Peter as one of his disciples. There is a difference. There's a marked difference. Marked difference. Difference between light and dark. Right? Death and life. And Ephesians 2, and you who were dead are what now? Alive unto God. You who were children of darkness are what? Children of light. You who walked according to the course of this world do what now? Walk with God. There's a marked difference between God's people. The Lord did it. Who maketh thee the difference? But He does make a difference. The Lord puts a difference. I hear some say, we're no different than anybody else. Well then, and there's no new man in you. I know we're all sinners. I know that. We're all sinners, all right. But in the child of God, there's a new man. There's an old man who's always going to be an old man and an old sinner. But there's a new man created in the image of Jesus Christ, holy, righteous, unblameable, unreprovable. That old man loves sin. That new man loves righteousness. That old man hates God. That new man loves God. That old man doesn't want anything to do with the gospel and God's people. That new man, it's his life. He's alive unto God. That old man's dead. That new man. You don't want to tell me there's not a difference? And it's recognizable. It's like that, you know, Christ in you. It's like that little girl came home. She heard the Bible lesson. And she heard Christ in you. And she came home and asked her dad, she said, Dad, how big a man was Christ, Jesus? He said, well, probably about my size. She said, well, if he's in me, he'd stick out, wouldn't he? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And thankfully, they recognize that this man, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. I want people to recognize that. I do. Look at Matthew 26, verse 73. After a while they came unto him that stood by and said, to Peter, surely thou also art one of them. Thy speech bewrayeth thee. Your speech gives you away. You talk like him. I want my speech to give me away, don't you? Huh? Oh, may our speech bewray us. Not betray us. But give us away. Give proof that we're a disciple. No longer full of cursing and bitterness, but thankfulness. Peter in a little while is going to revert right back. Matthew and Mark said he cursed and swore. Why did he do that? To fit in. Oh, our conversation's in the heaven. Oh, may my conversation give me away. That man talks about God. He's not interested in this world. Oh, may my speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. What's that? That's the gospel. Oh, may we walk in the light as he is in the light, not in darkness. Well, look at our text. John 18. I've said so many times, I'd rather have said it Wednesday night, the message of comfort. I said, rather bring a message of comfort. But we need to thank God if His Word convicts us. We need to thank Him. If He chastens us, He loves us. How many times have I repeated my pastor? Warnings and promises, warnings and promises. Always going to be warnings. If we heed the warning, we're God's child. If we don't, we're Judas. That's it. Had a lady come up and thank me for that, for the bulletin card. I didn't write it, my dad did. I said, I'm so happy that you're thankful for that. Convicted? Yes, I'm happy about that. I'm very happy if we're convicted. May the Lord keep us from the world. May the Lord keep us from... How does He keep us from falling? Right here. His Word is His power. His Word. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, in any of you, an evil heart among believers. Well, there's John Sheesley, Senior. Been here for 100 years. Surely he can't fall. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. As a preacher, he can't do it. We just look at two of them. Why? The world. Plain as a nose on our faces. John 18, look at verse 18. It says, the servants, an officer stood there and made a fire of coals, and it was cold. And they warmed themselves. Well, if you don't know God who is consuming fire, if you don't know Christ who's alive, you will be cold. You'll be left out in the cold. And they warmed themselves. They tried to warm themselves. What a message this is. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Isaiah 50. Go over there. Isaiah chapter 50. God's Word. Old and new is one. I saw, you know, every now and then I look at internet, what the world is saying about certain scriptures. You know that there are 67 versions of the Bible? 67. Thank God we use the same one that John Bunyan did. One. 67. But this internet said the Bible's not one book. It's an old two books full of many complicated books. And then it went on to say, and the Catholics even have six or seven more books. The Bible is one book. One book, one truth, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope. It is one book. It all says the same thing. That's why we see it in the children of Israel being brought out of Egypt. All the whole Old Testament's about that. The Lord saving them from the world. And sin. And in the New Testament, Paul and the Gospels is continually telling us about that. The whole book of Hebrews is about that. Take heed, brethren, take heed. Harden not your heart, as in the prophet has done it over and over and over again. Thank God. But look at Isaiah 50, verse 11. It says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire. Well, the religion likes to talk about the fire, don't they? Acquire the fire. If you let your children go to those things, that's just letting your children pass through the fire. And they'll be consumed. Oh, he said, encompass yourself with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, sparks that you kindle. This shall you have in my hand. You're going to lie down in sorrow. The Lord said. But now look at verse chapter 51. This is to God's people. Verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. What's that? It ain't a what, it's who. Ye that seek the Lord, look under the rock whence you're hewn and the hole of the pit whence you're digged. Look, remember where He found you, what He saved you from. Don't ever forget that. The children of Israel forget. Verse 7. Oh, this is good. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, that know Christ, people in whose heart is my law, my word. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Don't be afraid of their revilings. Verse 12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man, a maid, that shall die, and of the son of man, which is like grass? And forgettest the Lord thy maker. That's something. Psalm 1. Go to Psalm 1. Simon Peter, he's standing there with these people that hate the Lord. And he's silent. That's the only way you can stand very long. Be silent. But Psalm 1, look at this. He's standing, and surely he sat down. After a while, he got tired. But look at Psalm 1. This is, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sin, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This world is full of mockers and scoffers and scorners. God's people are full of thanksgiving and praise to our God. So Peter's standing there. Thank God. Now look at this. Thank God the one standing for Peter is standing resolute on his behalf. Thank God that the one whom Peter denied is standing and won't deny him. Thank God. Christ set his face like a flint and stood before our accusers, stood before the law that holds us, we're guilty as charged, and stood on our behalf. Who's he standing for? Who's he confessing? A bunch of worthless sinners. And I'm mad at myself right now. Why wouldn't I stand for him? You know, I can't stand myself. Can't. I'm ashamed of myself, aren't you? There our Lord stands. Holy, harmless, separate from sinners, undefiled. Why is he standing there? For this worthless, no good Christ but denier. Well, that'll put it in perspective on him. I'm ashamed of myself. The high priest, verse 19, asked Jesus of his disciples, of his doctrine. He didn't say anything about his disciples. He's asking who they were and about what he's teaching and all that. And our Lord's not going to give his disciples away. Remember? He said, if you seek me, let them go. Our Lord didn't say, there's one sitting right out there with your officer. No, he's not going to give them away. No, he's not going to lose one of them till this time. And this fellow asked about his disciples. And now this high priest is Annas. He's been there for 50 years. He's been the high priest for 50 years. He had great respect of the people. Everybody knew him, and he was rich. He lived in a palace, like religion today. A palace. Average modern preacher out there on TV is worth millions. He's not worth millions, but he has millions of dollars. Millions. Billy Graham had something like $30 million when he died. You want to tell me he's a preacher of God? He is not. He's a charlatan. And that gold and that silver, that money has risen up in the judgment against him. Well, Annas was there for 50 years. And he asked Jesus of his disciples, his doctrine. Now, this thing wasn't done in a corner. That's what Paul said to Agrippa. This is not done in a corner. He knew who his disciples was. He knew what his doctrine was. Didn't he? Our Lord didn't slink in secret and tell these things. And that's what he said. Look at it. He said, verse 20, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue. They threatened him. He goes sit in this temple. He goes stand in the temple in the synagogue like he owned the place. He did. They're the trespassers. He didn't have to ask them permission to preach in his temple. They should have asked him, shouldn't they? And he did one time. He kicked them all out. My house, he said. This is my house shall be called a house of prayer. You're a bunch of thieves, he said. Cast them out. Whip with them. Whip. Well, this man knew who his disciples were, and this man knew what his doctrine was. Well, why did he ask that? Well, you know, people know the truth. You know that? People know the truth. And they've heard the truth. And they've got Bibles. And they know what the doctrine is. They know it. What's the problem then? They don't believe it. They don't like it. They don't like it. And this man, like so many, was trying to catch him at something to have him, to accuse him of. The Pharisees always came to try our Lord, to catch him at his word, not to receive his word, not to bow to his word, not to learn from his word, but to find some questions to stump him. That's what Pharisees did. That's what this man did. He's a Pharisee. Sadducee is what he is. Liberal. The Sadducees were real liberal. Pharisees were strict. The fact the Sadducees were far left. Seriously. Far left. The Pharisees were far right. And they hated each other. They hated each other. Never could agree on anything except to hate Christ and his people. But the Pharisees were far, the Sadducees were far left, and that was Annas. And what they insisted for themselves, free will, couldn't stand it in him. Couldn't tolerate it. And that's the world in it. What they insist on, we have our rights and all that, we can say whatever we want to. This is what the, not just the far left, but everyone. We can say whatever we want to. We can do whatever we want to. But when God, when the man stands up to preach the truth from God's word, hold on now. You can't say that. Right? What they insist upon for themselves, they can't tolerate it when the truth is spoken. Well, our Lord said, I spake openly in the world. He's not going to prove himself to them. And his public ministry is over. He said all he's going to say. And brothers and sisters, right now, the Lord has said all he's going to say. That's it. And men need to go and read and study and hear somebody who's preaching his doctrine. All those who were saved at Pentecost said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, they loved the doctrine. What's the doctrine? It's the doctrine of Christ. Well, he said in verse 20, he said, I was in the temple where the Jews always resort. I don't say anything in secret. Our Lord was Son of God, wasn't he? He never said anything in secret. No. He confessed he came to bear witness to the Father. Faithful witness. Witness the good profession, the scripture says, before Pontius Pilate. I want to do that. Read on. It says, he said, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I've said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. They know what I said. Huh. You know, if you'd ask the average believer to tell you what the gospel is and the truth is, what God's word, they could tell you. Oh yeah, I can tell you. We're all ashamed of our lack of scriptural memory and able to. We're all ashamed. I'm ashamed in this time. I get so like I can't come up with anything. We're all ashamed of that. But if you ask any believer his hope of salvation, ask him about God, ask him about man, ask him about Christ, ask him about salvation, ask him about this book, he'll tell you. They're all talking about. He'll tell you. Ask them that heard me. If you want to know, people want to know what I preach, ask you. They hear me all the time. Right? That's what our Lord said. Ask them that heard me. He'll tell you. When he had thus spoken, verse 22, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. Who do you think you're talking to? This is the first of many times that men smote our Lord. Don't you know the angels are standing their foot in the ring? Call us, give the word. Why didn't it? Let the righteous smite me. It'll be a kindness. The law of the smite me. By his stripes we're healed. They beat him too. Why? Because that's what the Lord ought to do with me. You disobedient, you rebellious, you unthankful, you unworthy, you unfit. Slap on that. Get out of my presence. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. He was stricken and smitten. He was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement, the whipping necessary for us to have peace with God was laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. He took our whipping. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a faithful friend, huh? My. Who do you think you are answering the high priest like that? Boy, he found out, didn't he? I don't know, maybe the Lord's... Wouldn't it be just like the Lord saved this man? He's God. He's not a man. He prayed for his enemies. He saved his enemies. He was a friend of sinners. Every sinner he's a friend of, he saved them. That's why he befriended them. That's why he came. Save sinners. And that's who everybody was. That's what we were. No, we are. He said in now verse 23, and you know that hurt, don't you? He said, I gave my cheeks to them to smite me. He said, I gave my cheek to them to pluck out the beard. He said, I gave my back to smite me. I gave his self. He gave himself. He gave his body. My. The account gets much worse. He said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? If I've said something wrong, tell me. Say it. Bring it up. Our Lord, before this, he stood before men and devils and said, who convinces me of sin? What wrong, what evil, what sin can anybody find in me? And that's what our Lord said in Jeremiah 1. You know, he said, what evil have your fathers found in me? Find something evil in this book. Find something wrong that God has said. Find something that's not altogether true about me, about man, about God. Find something that's wrong. If there's evil here, find it. Men came. Like to drum up false witnesses. And so, you know, men don't read this because their conscience smites them. They know it's true. They don't like it. Don't like it. Mary said, you find something against me. He can't. Can't. So, being Annas, he had nothing more that he couldn't answer him. Like all those Pharisees got together and the lawyers and all that, and they tried to stump our Lord. They came with all those questions. Don't you know Simon Peter and all of them loved when our Lord was with them? And they were asked questions they knew. And they had the Lord handle it all. And so Annas quit asking questions. And he sent him to Caiaphas. Caiaphas is his son-in-law. What do you call that? Nepotism? You put your family in power. It's corrupt. It's corrupt to under. Well, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said, therefore, unto him, somebody else said, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. I am not. And then one of the servants of the high priest, being kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off. Don't you think he recognized him? How in the world, why in the world didn't they apprehend Peter? Huh? The next message is going to be about our Lord, our shield. Why didn't they grab him and throw him, take him into judgment hall with our Lord? Because the Lord wouldn't let them. If you seek me, he said, let these go, that it may be written, fulfilled, of those which thou hast given me, I've lost nothing. This is our Savior. John, he didn't come to try to save. He saved. And he saves us lock, stock, and barrel. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. He's the Savior of everything about us. I know you. You cut off my brother-in-law's ear. I saw you in the garden. Oh, I won't be seen in the garden, don't you? I won't. Where is our Lord? He's in his garden. You know where I want them to see me? In the garden. You know why I dress like this? Out of respect to our Lord. Not you. Respect to our Lord. But I'll tell you what. You know, on the Lord's Day, I want people to, whether they know what I believe or anything, whether they think I'm a hypocrite, Pharisee, whatever. I want them to know at least I've gone to the house of the Lord and I've not gone fishing. You understand? You've been to church, haven't you? Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. To worship my Lord. You've done such a great thing for me. While the servants said, I saw you in the garden, and Peter denied again, and both Matthew and Mark said he began to curse and swear, and the rooster crowed. And I forget which, Matthew or Mark, said, the Lord looked at him. He was within eyesight of our Lord. And our Lord looked at him. And that's what the Lord, his eyes behold, his eyelids try, his words. He's looking at you. I want him to look at me. With all my sin and all my shame, oh Lord, look on me. And he did. Oh, Peter's heart. And he went out and wept bitterly. And bless God's holy name. Peter was kept by the power of God. And Peter didn't betray Christ. There's a difference between betrayal and sell out. The Lord pierced his heart because he denied it. The Lord granted him repentance unto faith. And he went out and wept bitterly over his denial of our Lord. And he thought for 3 days, he thought, there's no way I can be a disciple of Christ. There's just no way. Look what I've done. And one of the first One of the most blessed things he ever heard in his life was he heard them say, "Go tell my disciples." And Peter, "I'll be waiting on." He couldn't get to Christ fast enough. He's not leaving. He's not selling out Christ. He denied him. He was ashamed of it. He's not selling it. Anything. And I tell you what, I guarantee you this. He never sat by the fire with anybody that hated Christ again. He's learned his lesson. Because that's what happened. You reckon? You know what's up. And Peter finally, in the Lord, in the end, he was so thankful that the Lord allowed him to suffer shame for his name because he'd been so ashamed of himself.